6 or 7 hours, I'm going to go over, just kidding, for the next few minutes, I'm just going to talk a little bit from John chapter 14. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. And Jesus was talking to his disciples. And he says to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have not told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Jesus answered, "I am the way." Can you say, "I am the way"?
I am
the truth.
I am
the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Lord, please speak to us this morning. Father, I pray for our hearts to be opened to the things that you have for us. God, I pray that your Spirit will minister to us and your Spirit will speak to us, God. Whatever spot we're in, people are here this morning with all sorts of different walks, and God, whatever place we're in right now in our life, God, or they're in, or God, I just pray that you'll minister in your own special way. God, I pray that your word will just do its thing and change us and transform us, God, and pray that you will use me, an imperfect vessel, to bring forth your perfect word, to bring forth your perfect will. God, I pray that you just do your thing in your holy name. Amen. You know, it's interesting. Not long ago, I took a drive to Minnesota. My family's from Minnesota. I don't know if you've ever taken the drive before, but it's not a fun drive. In fact, I'd much prefer to fly than to drive. A few years ago, one of my buddies took a buyout with Northwest, and he's like, "Hey, my dad said I got a car for you." I'm like, "Sweet." So we flew to Minnesota and then turn around and drove back the same day. And oh my goodness, it's so much better to fly than to drive. Can I get any people? Is it better to fly, especially if it's a long distance? Oh my goodness. Yes. And Nolan knows exactly what I'm talking about. The drive is bad. It's you know, what I do to get to I'm from southeastern Minnesota, the Rochester area. What I do to get there is I jump on to I-94. I take it right into the heart of Chicago. And that's where I both lose my Christianity and gain my Christianity all in the same day. And so I go there and go right into the heart of Chicago, and then I jump onto I-90, and I take I-90 straight up through Wisconsin, through the exciting state of Wisconsin of cornfields and nothingness. And then as I cross over from Wisconsin into Minnesota, I cross over the Mississippi, and then I have another hour of fun driving in cornfields in southeastern Minnesota till I get to County Road 8, where I jump off on this little two-lane road, and then I jump off, and I have about another 3 miles on 760th Avenue, and I go home, and I get to see my family there, and we live out in the country in this old farmhouse, this old dilapidated farmhouse, and my dad has trucks, and he has pull-behind trailers, and all sorts of crazy stuff. One time, my dad got a deal on some doors, and he bought like 50 doors, and he put them up in our barn as a wall. And so when people walk into our barn, they're looking around, and they're like, "Oh my goodness, which door to go through?" And so, but it's funny because, you know, there's no place like home. You know, as weird as that sounds, there's just something about being home. There's something about being in that weird old farmhouse. There's something about being in that weird barn with all the doors. There's just something wild about being home. You know, And throughout my life, there's been times where I've lived in different states. I lived in St. Louis and in the St. Louis area for a while, and the trek was a little bit different. We didn't have to go through Chicago, but we had to go up through the heart of Illinois and zip over into Iowa, and God bless us, we had to drive through Iowa and taking 380 up to 63. And even, I remember when I first moved away from home when I was in college down in Springfield, Missouri, and driving that trek down to Springfield and spending time there and heading home for the holidays. And honestly, it's weird how there's no place like home. And as weird as home might sometimes feel, or as weird as, but there's no place like home. Do you guys agree with me that there's no place like home? Like, I'm 40-some years old, and still I get excited to go. There's no place like home. There's something exciting about being home. And there's something exciting about seeing all the cats and the dogs and the doors in the barn and the stuff scattered everywhere. There's just no place like home. I was thinking about this passage of Scripture, and I was thinking about the context of this passage of Scripture. And this was the night before the crucifixion. It was the very night before. And if you look in, actually, a good portion of John is actually Jesus speaking. These are some of his last words before he is going to be crucified. And I don't know if you guys believe this, but I think last words are very important. And when people are speaking last words, you just want to know what they're saying. You want to get their insight. And you think, man, Jesus is really speaking his last words, and he's speaking to his close friends and his disciples. He's speaking to people who had been with him for about 3.5 years. They knew what it was like to be with him, and they had spent life with him. And again, he's speaking his last words to them. And he says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. I think I've read that passage a number of times, but what's interesting to me is that, you know, you think about it, he was saying these things hours before his betrayal. He was saying these things hours before his persecution. He was saying these things hours before his agony. He was saying these things hours before his disciples were going to scatter. He was saying these things hours before he was going to be facing a beating, and he was saying these things hours before he was going to be whipped. He was saying these things hours before he was going to have to take that march from Jerusalem to Golgotha, carrying his own cross, hours before this. He was saying this hours before he was going to be nailed to the cross. He was going to be mocked. He was saying this hours before he was going to breathe his last breath. Like, to me, this would have been maybe a good time for him to feel troubled because he knew what was in front of him. He knew the persecution that he was going to face. He knew the difficulties that he was going to face. He knew that he was going to be facing death, and death was just hours away. What's interesting also is not only was he going to be facing death, but also his followers were going to be scattered. His followers were going to be killed. His followers were going to be persecuted. Stephen was going to be martyred. Peter was going to be placed in prison. The church was going to face immense persecution. Jesus knew all these things at this time. He knew all these things at this time. He knows all of your things at this time. He knows all the things that you're going to go through at this time. He knows the doctor's report that the doctor's going to give you. He knows about the heartache that you're going to be facing. He knows about your sorrows and your griefs and your disappointments. And he says to his disciples, man, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. And I would argue there's a lot of things to be troubled about, but he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he goes on to say, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, can you say there's no place like home? One more time, say it like you mean it. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place. You know the way to the place where I'm going. As I dump, listen, guys. Maybe he wasn't laughing. But he's like, listen, guys. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Because I'm going home to prepare a place for you. You know, think about that for a minute. That's kind of a personal statement to people, isn't it? Have you ever prepared a place for someone? Like, you know, someone's coming over. My sister and her husband and her 20 kids are visiting. And that's just six kids are visiting. And there's some preparation that comes into them coming over. You know, it's like we got to get the, they're sleeping in the basement, praise the Lord. We got to get the basement ready because Genevieve has stuff all over the place. And so we had to pick up the basement. We had to clean the basement. We had to get things ready. We had to go grocery shopping to have some food to feed her and her family. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Like, I remember when my daughter, my son, when he was first born, it's like, you know, we knew he was coming, and so we did some things to prepare for him to come. You know, we went and we prepared the room, and my daughter, when she was born, we prepared the room for her to come and to live with us. You know what I'm talking about? Like there's something personal about someone preparing a room for you. For my daughter's last birthday, she said, Dad, I want you to fix up my room. I'm like, oh, sweet. Just paint it. She's like, yeah, paint it. So I painted it. And then she's like, yeah, I also want the floor done and I want crown molding and all this. I'm like, what in the world? So there's something personal about preparing a room for someone. I think sometimes we might maybe miss out on the idea of what was really happening here because we're removed from Jewish culture. But in Jewish culture, what would happen is that the, you know, I think we get things wrong sometimes. We mix the order of things. But in Jewish culture, what would happen is the man would propose to the woman, and then he would literally go back to his father's house, and he would build a room onto his father's house. And the father would determine when it was ready And once it was ready, the man would go back to the woman, they would become married, and they'd come back and they'd live in the room that was attached to the father's house. So when Jesus was making the statements, when Jesus was saying this to his disciples, he was connecting it to a custom of Jewish wedding. It was like, I'm just not some guy that's going to go off and, you know, but I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. This was incredibly personal. Although life is going to be hectic, don't be troubled. I haven't forgotten about you. I haven't abandoned you. Again, you think about everything that's facing them in front of them. I haven't abandoned you. I haven't forgotten you. Troubled times are ahead, but don't be troubled. Keep your faith in Jesus. Keep your faith in me. I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to take you where I am also. You see the connection throughout the scripture, throughout the verses? And then it's interesting because Thomas speaks up and Thomas is like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, I'm a little confused what you're talking about. I don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? You're talking about this house. You're talking about this room. You're talking about these things, and you're talking about the, you know the way. I don't know the way. I can maybe imagine the disciples being a little confused because up until just recently, a lot of them still thought Jesus was establishing his earthly kingdom. And so Thomas just speaks up and he says, I don't really know what you're talking about. I don't know where you're going, to be honest, and I'm not even sure what you're doing. It's interesting because I think in some ways Thomas represents you and I. He represents us. You know? God works with doubters. He works with our quirks. He works with our questions. That's just who he is. I think this question was an honest look into the heart of Thomas. I don't know the way. I don't know the way. How can we know the way? How can you know the way? You know, it's interesting because I think if you turn on the TV or if you pop onto social media for about 30 seconds or merely if you open your ears for just a few moments and you think about the way, man, there's lots of different answers that you'll get. And remember he's speaking of a connection. He's speaking about connecting with God. He's speaking about a relationship with him. He's literally speaking of living and dwelling in God's house, the way. And again, I think you can find a lot of different answers. If you just ask 10 different people, you'll probably get 10 different answers. I think some will say that the way to God is through good intentions. So as long as you really believe what you believe, well, that's good for you. That's good for you. Do you guys mind if I tell you a story real quick? Does anyone mind? Maybe you do mind? Whatever. I'm just going to tell the story. There was this lady who came to my place of work. I work at a bank, and this lady came to my place of work. And she'd been struggling. She had a trucking company. She was an owner-operator. She had a trucking company. And she wasn't doing well, and she was trying to sell her trucks. And she was upset. And I didn't realize, these trucks, I don't know if you guys, do we have any truckers in the room? Praise the Lord. So he knows, trucks are incredibly expensive, actually. She had two trucks that she was trying to sell, and they have these truck brokers that, like, connect you with sellers and stuff. And so she had these two trucks that she was trying to sell. And for both of them, it was about $400,000 for both of these trucks, which, again, I didn't realize trucks were quite that expensive. But the trucker man probably knows trucks can be very expensive. They have, you know, big engines, and they have, you know, spots for you to sleep and all these things. And she was depressed. She was trying to sell the trucks because she was trying to move away, and she came into me, and she said, and so I'm working with her over a period of time, and she's trying to sell these trucks, working with these brokers, and people were trying to buy it, and the financing was falling through. These brokers will, like, connect you to the, you know, to the seller, and their financing kept on falling through. And one day she came in, and she was incredibly excited. She was exuberant. She's like, I did it. I'm like, oh my goodness, you did it. I'm like, what did you do? She's like, I sold the trucks. I'm like, that's awesome. I'm so excited that she sold the trucks. She's like, I'm so excited, and we're dancing around my office because I knew her story, and she knew my story, and she's kind of exuberant, and I'm kind of exuberant, and we're like, yeah, you sold the trucks, praise the Lord, hallelujah, I'm so excited for you that you sold the trucks. And she's like, I sold the trucks. I'm like, you sold the trucks. She's like, I sold the trucks. I'm like, you sold the trucks. I'm like, I'm so happy that you sold the trucks. She's like, I'm so excited that I sold the trucks too. And I'm like, okay, we're going to go to Benihana. We're going to have a party. We're going to do all these exciting things. And she's like, I know. And so she sold the trucks. And she's like, yeah, it's crazy because they gave me $50,000 more than what I was asking. I'm like, wow, that seems interesting. She's like, yeah. She's like, I never actually met the sellers, but they sent me this check, and I'm super excited. They actually FedExed me this check next day, and all I have to do is once the check clears, all I have to do is give them $25,000 for the connection, and I'm still $25,000 ahead. And in that moment, I realized that she was getting defrauded. She was getting frauded, and it wouldn't have mattered how excited I was about what was happening. You know what I'm talking about? And I think sometimes, you know, we think the way is based off of, if I just get excited enough about something, if I just get, you know, if I just believe in this enough, some people think that the way to God is through good intentions. Others will say that the way to God is through good works. They'll say that it's because of my good behavior, it's because of my, maybe because of my meditation, maybe it's because of my physical labor. Others will say that the way to God is through happiness. If I can just get more of this, then I'll be happy. If I can just get more of that, I'll be happy. If I just get a bigger house, I'll be happy. If I just get married, then maybe. If I just find the perfect spouse, then I'll be happy. But it's wild because happiness is so fleeting. It's always right around the bend. The way is whatever you say it might be. There's lots of different paths. There's lots of different roads that promise happiness. Maybe it's my intentions. Maybe it's happiness. Maybe it's doing good works. But take a look at the next verse. And Jesus responded. He said, "I am the way." Now, interesting, he didn't say, "I am the ways." He didn't say, "I am one of the ways." He said, "I am," it's a very exclusive statement. "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Again, his word is exclusive. The way, the truth, the life. You know, maybe there are some people here this morning who are looking to get connected with God. You might have realized that you might not realize this, but the world definitely has a sin problem, and the world has an issue with sin, and we have issues with sin. Since Genesis chapter 3, we can see that the world was corrupted by sin, and that there's been separation from God since the garden. But God sent his son Jesus to come and bridge the gap and be sin for us and be punishment for us. And we can have a right relationship with him, having community with him. If you're looking to get connected with God, it's through Jesus. And speaking, it's interesting, prophetically speaking of Jesus before he even walked on the planet in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah said, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." Are you looking to get connected with God? It's not through meditation. It's not through physical work. It's not through good behavior or enlightenment. If you're looking to get connected with God, it's through Jesus. Jesus is the way. Are you looking to find your way back home? Have you ever noticed that you're just missing something? You're missing something, and you're looking around, and you're trying to fill things with all the things, and you just can't seem to find happiness. You just can't seem to find peace. There's just something, you feel like you're kind of like a fish out of water. Are you looking to find your way back home? You were created for a different place. You have a home and you have a place in heaven, and Jesus has gone there to prepare a place for you. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be distraught. You don't have to be upset. Jesus is going there to prepare a place for you. He's cleaning up the room. He's adding on the addition. He's painting the room. He's going there to prepare a place for you. Are you looking to find a way back home? It's through Jesus. Are you looking to get connected with God? It's through Jesus. Are you looking to find your way back home? It's through Jesus. There's no place like home. Lord, today as we close up this service. And as we sing the song one last time, God, I just pray that you will just minister to us, Father. I think there are people here today that have been searching for you. They've been looking to get connected to you. And God, today, in this moment, I pray that you'll minister to them and you'll open up their hearts and your Spirit will do what your Spirit does. Your Spirit will do the miraculous work. I think there are some people here this morning that have been looking for home. They've been out searching and they've been filling themselves with all the wrong things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Connection is through Jesus. Community is through Jesus. Our home is through Jesus. No matter what detour we've been taking, maybe when going the wrong way, maybe when driving in the wrong direction, maybe instead of taking I-94 to 90 to, you know, County Road 8 to get home, we've been taking I-75 south and we've been heading towards Florida. But God, listen, you are there and you're in John chapter 3, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. We can turn back around. We can come towards you. God, today, we choose the Jesus way.